Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ireland take on New Zealand this weekend at Soldier Field in Chicago, a city famous for its close association with Ireland and Irish immigration. One of Chicago's most storied sporting institutions is the White Sox baseball team, founded by Charles Comiskey, the son of an Irish immigrant. But Comiskey's legacy in baseball is a bit complicated, and he receives at least partial blame for one of the dirtiest scandals in the sport's history. Off the Ball's Cameron Hill can tell us more. Morning, Cameron.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
We want to talk about two Irish people, Charles Comiskey and Ted Sullivan.
Yes, so Charles Comiskey was born in Chicago on the 15th of August, 1859, the son of John Comiskey, who was born near Ballyjames Duff in Cavan and was a Chicago alderman, so a pretty prominent figure in Chicago society at the time. Ted Sullivan, we're less sure about. We know he was born roughly in the 1850s. There are some sources saying that he was from County Clare and born there in 1851. One claims he was actually born in Kerry in 1856. And that is the opinion of Sam Kingston down in UCC. So I'm probably going to lean towards the latter on that one.
Now, how did these two paths cross?
So Ted Sullivan's family emigrates to the US very early in his childhood, the 1850s, not a great time to be in Ireland, and they settle in Milwaukee in Wisconsin. He attends St. Gall's Catholic School and falls in love with baseball almost immediately. Goes to college then in St. Mary's, where he meets 15-year-old Charles Comiskey, and they go to Dubuque in Iowa, called Little Dublin, according to Sam Kingston, due to the amount of Irish who settled there after emigrating to the US, and set up what is arguably the first minor league team, the Dubuque Rabbits.
And which of them played?
Both of them played. So Ted Sullivan played for a while, and then Comiskey came shortly afterwards against the wishes of his father, who Sullivan felt he'd infected with baseball-itis and came close to shooting Sullivan for doing this and really wanted his son to follow in his path in the sort of blue-blood Chicago way. But it was too late. Comiskey was a baseball man through and through.
Now, it wouldn't mean that you'd make your fortune as a player back in those days.
No, but it was becoming part of the fabric of American society and American culture. Sullivan becomes this kind of missionary. He goes around setting up minor leagues across the US, which are kind of like feeder teams for the major league teams that people might have heard of, like the likes of the Yankees and the Cubs and the Red Sox. He's credited with pioneering this idea of scouting players, looking at players from further afield and bringing them into teams, which is, you know, common in every sport these days. And also, funnily enough, is credited with creating and coining one of the most universal terms in the sporting lexicon. So Sullivan was quite a thin-skinned man, it seemed, and he hated when someone who was just a member of the public who hadn't played would come up with all these statistics and figures and try to outsmart him. He would call these people fanatics or fans. And that's where we get the
So that's where the term fan comes from.
Apparently. It's one of the disputed theories.
Okay, so sports fan comes from your man. Now, tell me about the scandals and how early in their careers did these start to emerge?
So after a really long playing career, Comiskey eventually buys a team. He uses what money he's gathered and buys a team in Sioux City in Iowa, moves them around a good few places before eventually settling in Chicago and names them the White Stockings in 1900. The press shortened this to White Sox.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
He knew all the sort of intricacies of baseball as a business and had turned them into a successful team. They won two World Series in 06 and 07, 1907 and 1906. but also made them into the, one of the more profitable teams of the 20th century.
So he was making money.
He was making the money. In his first decade as the owner of the White Sox, Comiskey supposedly earned $700,000, which is $24 million in today's money. And he did so by kind of nefarious means. He really underpaid his players. That was the huge thing. Baseball players at the time were seriously underpaid, considering that they were the people dragging all these people in to watch the games. Comiskey kept the wheels turning. He was quite a political animal like his father. He wined and dined prominent sports writers. Ring Lardner, who would write some of the most beautiful sports writing of the early 20th century, was one of those, and made contributions to civic causes in Chicago. So he had the public on his side, but maybe not his players.
Now, what did the players do? I mean, baseball is a fairly straightforward game. You can imagine there are opportunities to make certain things happen if you wish.
Absolutely, but not sign for another team. So they had no union, and the negotiating and bargaining power was very much with the owners. So if you were offered a contract by a team, it's like divorce lawyers in the US. You can't go and play for a rival team then. You were prohibited from playing professional baseball. So they were fed up. And 8 White Sox players in 1919 were bribed to throw the World Series against the Cincinnati Reds, a plot allegedly masterminded by New York-based gangster Arnold Rothstein, known as the Black Sox Scandal. They included Eddie Cicotti, Arthur Chuck Gandel, and Claude Lefty Williams. Shoeless Joe Jackson, one of the most famous people involved in this case, it's disputed as to whether he actually knowingly knew of the plot, but he was caught up in it regardless.
Okay, so how did anyone go to jail?
They were banned. So there was a big trial. It was kind of covered up. Everyone sort of knew that this was going on. Ring Lardner was reportedly disgusted when he sort of noticed that by game 2, the Cincinnati Reds, who Comiskey had played for, were winning against one of the greatest baseball teams of all time. And Comiskey knows about this and sits on it for a while. And then the whole thing's blown wide open when 3 of the players come forward and confess to knowing about it. Comiskey goes and suspends 7 of the players involved. Gandel was already suspended because of an unrelated pay dispute. And 8 Black Sox players were banned from baseball for life. It became this symbol of the corruption of American virtue in the 20th century.
And it references in The Great Gatsby and even in Ernest Hemingway's work.
Yeah, one of his stories, In Our Time, 2 very young men are disgusted, and it's about loss of innocence and in the wake of the Black Sox scandal. And Hemingway himself, who's from a suburb of Chicago, grew up as a White Sox fan. So in his diaries, he seems particularly disgusted by it too. So it was
did
a real shattering.
Comiskey, there was a shadow over him. Did he manage to rehabilitate himself at all?
Not afterwards. So a lot of owners kind of kept away from him. He was sort of a persona non grata. He was going on this public relations mission to restore his credibility afterwards. We talked before about the game in Croke Park.
Which was a disaster.
That was an absolute disaster because they did it in 1924 on a Sunday at 11 when everyone was at mass. So no one turned up. Then his credibility and his reputation is rehabilitated a bit towards the end of his life. In 1939, he is inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, Ohio. But that's more to do with what he did early as a player and not what he did as an owner. Comiskey Park was where the White Sox played until 1990. So he has a complicated legacy. Mm. But
his biggest one is obviously creating the word fan.
Exactly, exactly.
Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.